members of your house, members of your family. To be called children of God. Thank you, Lord, for making it possible for that. I ask, Lord, that as your people, we would never forget the privilege. And that we would, in fact, serve you with all of our hearts to the best of our abilities. For all the right reasons. In Jesus' name, amen. If you were to ask a group of Jewish people to name a great leader in the nation of Israel's history, that would be a simple question for most of them, no doubt. They would say, that's easy, Moses. In the Jewish mind, nobody was greater than Moses. Moses was the greatest leader in Jewish history, and Moses really was an extraordinary man, wasn't he? An amazing leader. Moses delivered the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. Moses went to Pharaoh. And I always picture Charlton Heston, but I know it's that. But he went to Pharaoh and he said, let God's people go. The 10 plagues were worked through Moses' hand. The miraculous crossing of the Red Sea took place under Moses' leadership. And then Moses went to the top of Mount Sinai where he met with God. He received the 10 commandments. He received the rest of the law. He received the blueprints for the tabernacle. He received the instructions for the priesthood and the offerings of sacrifices. Moses received directly from God that which would define the Jewish people for thousands of years. And we know that Moses was in the very presence of God. And when he would leave the presence of God, he would shine. His face glowed. So he was this great man, and he is deeply respected by the Jewish people. In fact, some Jewish rabbis today place Moses as one greater than angels. Some even place Moses next to God himself. So respected was Moses, and is Moses. But we find out in our text this morning that Moses was really simply only a servant in the house of God. He was one of God's house servants. A great man, a godly man, a wonderful example, but a servant. All people that belong to the Lord and all people that are used by the Lord are simply house servants. Servants in God's house. That includes all the greats from the Old Testament. Joshua, David, Daniel, Abraham, all of them. Ruth, Esther, Deborah, wonderful men and women, but all house servants. Includes the greats in the New Testament. Peter, James, John, Paul the Apostle, all house servants. Brother and sister in Christ, we are God's house servants. We are simply servants in the house of God. And what a privilege that is. Amen? And how we should desire to be quality servants in God's house. This morning I want to give you four characteristics of quality house servants. And you'll see them as modeled in Moses. Look at verse 1 of chapter 3. It says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus, who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses, indeed, was faithful in all his house as a servant, for a testimony of those things which would be spoken of afterward. but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Now, I want you to consider Moses in this passage. Twice it says of Moses that he was faithful in all his house. In verse 2, it says, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. In verse 5, it says, and Moses indeed was faithful in all his house. Now, that is a wonderful thing to have said of you by anybody. That's a wonderful compliment for anybody to say of you, oh, you're faithful in all your house. But it's actually an extra big compliment for Moses here, because the writer of Hebrews is actually looking back to the Old Testament to the testimony that God had of Moses. This is what God said of Moses. God himself looked down at his servant Moses and said, he's faithful in all my house. In fact, in Numbers chapter 12, God says concerning Moses, hear now my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly, and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Wouldn't that be awesome to have God say that of you? God said to the people of Israel, there are prophets in your midst, and I give them dreams and I give them visions, but not with Moses. Moses is my servant. He's faithful in all my house. I speak to him face to face, openly, plainly. What an awesome testimony this is of Moses, faithful in all his house. Now, it says that Moses was faithful in all his house. Does that mean that Moses had a house? Was he a homeowner? Did he take care of his house? Was he one of those neighbors who had a perfectly groomed front yard that made all the other neighbors jealous? You know the types? No. Moses didn't have a house. He actually lived in a tent for 40 years. House is used six... We won't be in this tent 40 years, Lord willing. That word house is used six times in this passage. And it's a Greek word that can mean house, physical house like you would live in. But it also refers to a group of people, a family, an assembly, a congregation, a nation. And what this is saying was Moses was faithful in the house of Israel. He was faithful as the leader of Israel. He was faithful to work with the Jewish people of God in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel. And the number one characteristic that could describe Moses' life and should describe our lives, listen very carefully, is this: faithfulness. Moses was faithful. That is, Moses was trustworthy. He was dependable. He was responsible. He was consistent. He was faithful. Moses diligently did all that God had equipped him for and called him to. And that's what makes him so extraordinary. Man, for 40 years, Moses showed up to work every day as the leader of the nation of Israel. And he taught the people, and he cared for the people, and he led the people. Just regular clockwork, faithful. The word faithful also makes us think of another word, fidelity. We talk about that in a marriage relationship. The husband and wife are to be faithful to one another. There's to be no unfaithfulness in a marriage relationship. And Moses was absolutely faithful to the Lord. And Moses was faithful to the people of God. My brother and sister in Christ, that characteristic should be an essential characteristic of you. Faithful. We are to be faithful. You and I are to be faithful to God first and foremost. Amen? No running around on God. We are to be faithful to the people of God. And you and I as Christians are to diligently do all that God has equipped us for and called us to. Working, serving the Lord regularly, consistently, finding out what God has called you to do with your life, and doing it for the rest of your life, not just in phases. I love what happened with John Wesley. A lady once asked John Wesley a question. She said to him, suppose that you were going to die, and you knew you were going to die at 12 midnight tomorrow. How would you spend the intervening time? His reply, why, madam, just as I intend to spend it now. I would preach this evening at Gloucester, and again at 5 tomorrow morning. After that, I would ride to Tewkesbury, preach in the afternoon, and meet the societies in the evening. I would then go to Reverend Martin's house, who expects to entertain me, talk and pray with his family as usual, retire to my room at 10 o'clock, commend myself to my Heavenly Father, lie down to rest, and wake up in glory. Isn't that beautiful? That is how the Christian is to live their life. Serving Jesus. Faithfully. Faithfully. Brother and sister in Christ, I want you to hear this very, very clearly. Faithfulness does not depend on how many gifts or talents God has given you. And a lot of times Christians misunderstand that. They think the most faithful Christians are those who have the most gifts and talents. Untrue. Faithfulness just means being faithful with whatever talent or gift that God has given you. I know a lot of Christians who don't think they can serve the Lord because, well, I can't speak in front of people, or I don't play a guitar, or I can't sing a solo. There's a whole lot of other gifts and talents that are needed in the body of Christ. And the idea is to be faithful with what God has called you and equipped you with. You remember the parable that Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents? About a wealthy man who went out on a long journey and he gave some of his belongings to three servants. Talents he gave to each one of them, and they were supposed to use them, invest them. To one servant he gave five talents, according to his ability. To another servant he gave two talents, according to his ability. To the third servant he gave one talent, according to his ability. And then he went away, and they're supposed to go and invest these talents. Well, the one who was given five talents made five more, got 10 talents. The one who was given two made two more, was given 4 talents, made 4 talents. The one who was given one went and buried the talent in the ground. I can't do anything with this. And when the wealthy man came back to the two that had invested, to the two that were faithful with the original amount that they had been given, he said, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. To the one who had hidden his talent, the wealthy man said, you wicked and lazy servant. And he actually took the talent away from that one and gave it to the one who had 10. Brother and sister in Christ, it doesn't matter how many talents God's given you. The only thing that does matter is if you're faithful with what God has given you. And just as God said of Moses, he's faithful in all my house. There's coming a day when we get to heaven and the Lord will say to you, if you've been faithful, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter in. Moses was faithful. You and I need to be faithful. Look what else it says in verse 5 of Moses. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant. It doesn't say Moses was faithful in all his house as a big shot, as a CEO, as a president, as a great giant spiritual leader, which he was. Moses was a servant. If you want to be effective in the kingdom of God as a Christian, then you have to, in fact, really be a servant. No matter where God has called you or what he has equipped you for, whether it's a leadership position or not, all of us as Christians are servants. There are a number of Greek words in the New Testament used for servant, all of which apply to us as Christians. There's the Greek word doulos, which is the most common word, and it speaks of a slave, someone who literally is a slave to a master, where the master calls all the shots and you just obey the master. We should be like that with Jesus, shouldn't we? He's the master, right? It also has its background from the Old Testament when a person got in trouble financially or got into debt. Oftentimes, they were forced to sell themselves to another person as a slave to pay back their debt. And so you could actually become another person's slave in the Old Testament and you could serve that master. And the Old Testament said you could only do that for 7 years. On the seventh year, you had to be released. You had to be made free. There were some slaves who got in that position, and they so loved their master that they didn't want to leave. The master had been so good to them and had provided such a wonderful environment for them and had taken care of their family in such a beautiful way that after the 7 years were up, the slave would say, I don't want to go. Don't set me free. And if that was truly what the servant wanted to do, the slave would want to do, they'd go through an elaborate ceremony. They would take that slave to the door, the front door of the house. They'd put his earlobe right up against the door frame. And they'd take an awl, which is like a pin, and hammer it right through the earlobe, right into the door. It was body piercing, man. It was an earring. And that person would then wear that earring, and it was a symbol of the fact that that person had become a voluntary slave of the good master, and that person was no longer known as a slave, a doulos. He was known as a bond slave. A bond slave, one who had voluntarily given themselves to a master. And you know, Paul the Apostle called himself a bond slave of Jesus Christ. My brother and sister in Christ, we need to be bond slaves of Jesus Christ. Voluntarily. Hey, you're the master. Another Greek word for servant is diakonos. We get the word deacon. Deacon sounds impressive, right? Here comes the deacon. You know what deacon actually means? Slave. Servant. Minister. There's another word that's used for servant, huperetes, which means to serve under, to be arranged under, like in a military ranking sort of way. Willingly taking a subordinate position under another person. This is all to be true of you and I as Christians. But those words aren't used here. A very uncommon word is used here when it says Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant. That Greek word for servant is very rare. It's very uncommon. It's a beautiful word. It's the Greek word therapon. And we get another word from it, therapuo. And that's a word that means to serve and to heal. Sort of like in a medical connotation. We get our word therapy from that word. Moses was a spiritual therapist. And the word also means, speaks specifically of somebody who volunteers to do that out of a deep affection, out of love. There's no payment. There was never a time where they had to sell themselves in. They just love people and they give therapy to other people. And this is Moses. He just loved God and he served God. And he just loved the people of Israel and he cared for them. This is exactly how you and I are supposed to be. Servants. All of the great men and women in Scripture were servants. Paul the Apostle said, "We do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake." Jesus himself said, "I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life as a ransom for many." Brother and sister in Christ, listen. We are to see ourselves only as servants. And we are to serve in the body of Christ. And we are to serve the Lord. And let me tell you, when you serve the Lord, and when you serve other people, your life will be fulfilled. I know that to be true. The Bible teaches that. The Bible says, those who give their lives away, find it. The Bible says that those who try to hoard their lives, lose it. Service is so important. I want to challenge those of you who have been Christians for a long time and you're not involved in serving the Lord or in serving other people. However you do that, however the Lord uses you or lead you to do that is fine, but just make sure you're doing it. Our culture has become such a culture of isolation, hasn't it? And we get so wrapped up in ourselves and we don't even know our neighbors. We hardly know anybody. We're all wrapped up in our own lives and in our own problems and in our own stuff and in our own things. The way to happiness is to serve others. To get involved with other people. To give therapy. Tender, loving care to your brothers and sisters in Christ. To be involved. This will make your life blossom. This is how Moses was. I read about the great violinist Niccolò Paganini. Had this marvelous violin and he willed it to Genoa, the city of his birth. But he gave it to the city on one condition: the instrument could never be played upon. Couldn't touch it. It was an unfortunate condition, for it is a peculiarity of wood that as long as it is used and handled, it shows little wear. As soon as it is discarded, it begins to decay. That exquisite, mellow-toned violin has become worm-eaten in its beautiful case, valueless except as a relic. The moldering instrument is a reminder to us that a life withdrawn from all service to others loses its meaning, and it really does. However you do it, wherever you do it, serve Christ and serve His people. Notice what else it says about Moses in verse 5. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken of afterward. In other words, Moses lived his life for the testimony of another, of a greater, another one who would come in the future. He lived his life for something and someone that was much bigger than himself and his own life. And understand, the life that Moses lived pointed to the life of the Messiah who would come in the future. In fact, God said to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18, I will raise up for them, the Jewish people, a prophet like you, Moses, from among their brethren, and will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him, and it shall be that whoever will not hear my words which he speaks in my name, I will require it of him. The prophet that would be raised up in the future would be Jesus. And Moses, his life would point to Jesus. Moses was a lot like Jesus. Miracles worked through him, speaking the words of God. And the things that Moses wrote and recorded and taught in the Old Testament, they all point to Jesus. You can find Jesus in the Old Testament. Moses was a giant arrow that pointed up. He was an arrow that pointed forward. In the way he lived and in the things he spoke, all of it pointed to one who would be greater than him, Jesus, the Messiah. My brother and sister in Christ, that's the third characteristic. We are to live our lives pointing others to Jesus. Amen? Leading others to Christ. We want others to look at our lives and not go, ooh, how impressive, look at that person. We want others to look at our lives and go, look at Jesus, amen. Giving glory to the Father. This is how we are to live. This is to be our goal, our objective. We really, really need to be those who are living for something and someone that is much greater than ourselves. Living for a testimony that will outlive our own lives. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who? Your Father in heaven. And F.B. Meyers, commenting on that, said, it's not a glare, but a glow. And we are simply to let the light shine. God prefers stars to comets. The figure is a candle, not a firecracker. A consistent, faithful, serving the Lord, serving other people, consistently directing everybody in your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and giving glory to Him. Moses had all those characteristics. A faithful servant pointing others. These need to be the characteristics of you and I. Faithful. Serving others. Pointing others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Moses was like that in the house of Israel. I want to challenge my brothers and sisters in Christ here this morning. What house are we a part of right now? Church. We are the people of God. We are members of His body. We are the church. We need to be faithful in His house. We need to be faithful in the church. Consistent in the church. Serving in the church. loving others in the church, pointing others to Jesus Christ in the church. God is working through the church now. And we need to all work together. Amen. You know, I want all of you to be at church regularly. Can I just say that? I want you to consistently be at church. Two reasons. Number one, it will be good for you. God will bless you. You need constant fellowship. You need Bible study. You need that whole corporate worship experience. But the second reason is a little selfish, and I'll admit that. You bless me. And you bless others. You need to be at church because you're a contributor. God has blessed you with a gift, with a talent, with a place to serve. And when God's people aren't in church regularly, there's big holes. And there's lots of blessings missed. Can I challenge you? Be faithful in the house of God. Be a servant in the house of God. Point others to Jesus Christ in the house of God. The same could be true of you in your home, your family, in your community, in your neighborhood, in your office, in your school. Faithful wherever you might be. There's one more quality that I want to point out to you this morning. And this is one of those qualities that we need in our lives as Christians to really keep us on track. To keep us from getting off the track. Off the right path. Notice what it says back there in verse 1 of chapter 3. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus. Verse 1 tells us, very simply, to consider Jesus. House servants, servants in God's house, listen to me. Consider Jesus. And the idea of the word is not just take a real casual glance at the Lord every now and then. Consider means to study. To fix your attention upon. To understand something fully and completely. To diligently look at. As servants in God's house, we are to keep our minds fixed on Jesus Christ. Totally on Him, studying Him. And this keeps you on track. There are problems that servants encounter in the house of God. Many times, some servants in the house of God can get a little prideful in their spirituality. They'll get their eyes on themselves and they'll begin to think that they're really, you know, super servants in the house of God, real spirit. Oh, God, I'm so glad I'm so humble. And that I've just become so faithful. And I'm a servant. And my life points others to Christ. And I'm so much better than so and so. Whenever you get your mind on yourself, you're in big trouble. Consider Jesus. Keep your mind on Him. Other times, some servants in the house of God can begin to look at other servants in the house of God and begin to elevate them to a position that they shouldn't occupy. Begin to admire other Christian leaders too much. This is exactly what happened with the Jewish people and Moses. They elevated Moses. Look how awesome Moses is. The people that the writer of Hebrews is writing to is to a church that's thinking about leaving Christianity and going back to the law of Moses because they love Moses so much. Man, if you elevate someone else in your life to a place that they shouldn't be, you'll get in trouble. Consider whom? Jesus. We can also get into problems as house servants by comparing ourselves to each other, competing with one another, playing sorts of spiritual games with one another. And let me tell you, these things happen in the church. If we would all just consider Jesus, all the games go away. Amen? All of them go away. And you are true. You are right. You are doing things for the right reasons, with the right motivations, because your mind is fixed upon Jesus Christ. And look at the wonderful things we see about Jesus in this passage. It says in verse 1 of chapter 3, "Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our confession, Christ Jesus." Jesus is called an apostle. Did you know he was an apostle? When I hear the word apostle, I think of the 12 apostles. But actually, the ultimate apostle was Jesus. Jesus was sent from heaven. Apostle means the sent one. Man, the one who got sent the furthest was who? Jesus, leaving heaven to come on a mission to save us. Again, not to elevate the human apostles. Who do we love? Who do we follow? The ultimate apostle, Jesus. He's called the high priest there in verse 1. What an amazing high priest Jesus is. Perfectly represents God to man and perfectly represents man to God. Why would anybody go to a human priest when Jesus is our high priest? Don't elevate anybody else in your life to that position. Go directly to Christ. And the rest of this passage proves how Jesus was absolutely superior to Moses. Verse 2, "Who was faithful to him who appointed him, as Moses also was faithful in all his house. For this one, Jesus, has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who built the house has more honor than the house. For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God." This is getting back to the main theme and thrust of the book of Hebrews, which is Jesus is simply the best. He's superior to the prophets, he's superior to the angels, and he is much more superior to even their most respected leader, Moses. Moses was part of the house. Jesus built the house. And he built all things as God. Jesus built the big house. Creation. The heavens and the earth. He created it all. Jesus established the nation of Israel. Jesus established the church. He gets all the honor. Moses was just a servant in the house. Verse 6, Christ is a son over the house. This is why we are to keep our mind fixed on Jesus Christ. He's the one in charge. He's the one we answer to. He's the one that keeps us all right and on track and true. And as you keep your eyes on Him, you walk in the path that He has for you. And you don't sink like Peter did, remember? When he took his eyes off the Lord and began to sink. Brother and sister in Christ, I see a beautiful passage here that tells us exactly how to live a fruitful life as a Christian. These are things to think on. These are things to keep your life in check. Be faithful. Be a servant. Concern yourself only with pointing others to Jesus. And you yourself, keep your eyes fixed upon Jesus. If that is all a part of your life, oh man, God has an exciting life for you. God will use you. And it's actually very simple to understand. And by the power of the Holy Spirit living inside us, we can walk a life like that. And God can use us. And my brother and sister in Christ, it is an absolute privilege to be a servant in the house of God, isn't it? Because the Bible teaches that not only are we servants in His house, but when you give your life to Jesus, you actually become a son. You become a daughter. You become a member of His household. What joy! And the truth of the matter is, as the Bible teaches, everybody is a servant to somebody. We all live our lives serving something. Remember Bob Dylan? You have to serve somebody. Remember that song? It might be the devil or it might be the Lord, but you have to serve somebody. Bob Dylan was right. That's exactly what the Bible says. People serve God or they serve the devil. People are in God's house or they're in the house of Satan. What a privilege to be in the house of God, amen? Serving Him. Knowing that our sins have been forgiven. That we are His sons and daughters. That we have a wonderful, wonderful hope that we found in Jesus Christ. Perhaps you're here and you've never considered things like you've just heard this morning. You've never thought about belonging to God. I want you to know this morning that you can belong to God this morning. You can become a member of His family right now. The Bible says that God loved the world so much that He gave His only begotten Son, Jesus. Visited planet Earth, the Apostle, the Sent One. Came and lived a perfect life. And died on the cross for the sins of the world. For none of us can be perfect. All of us have sin. And the wages of sin is death. And our price needed to be paid before we could come into a relationship with God. Jesus died for your sins, for my sins. And He rose again that third day, defeating death, and He's alive. And the Bible says, if you will ask Him to come into your life, all your sins will be forgiven, you'll become born again, and you will become a member of His house, a servant. In His house, a child of God. Father, I pray if there would be anyone here this morning who has never made that decision, that right now they would make that decision. Lord, thank You for opening up Your house and making it possible for sinners like us to become members of Your family, members of Your house. Thank You for dying on the cross so that we could be forgiven. With every head bowed, eye closed,
Would there be anyone here this morning who's never opened their heart to Jesus? If you've never received Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've never become a child of God, that happens through a simple act of faith. And in a prayer, just simply asking Jesus to be your Savior. Oh man, life opens up with Jesus. All the failures of the past go away with Jesus. And the future just becomes exciting with Jesus. All the adventures that He has, all the ways that He wants to use you. And the hope of heaven when you die. If you've never received Christ, I'd like you to raise up your hand high right now. Just raise your hand and say, I want to make that decision this morning to invite Jesus to come into my life. You have just a few moments to do this. I believe it's important that you make it public. Becomes the real deal for you. Anybody here this morning? Then my brothers and sisters in Christ, would you stand with me? And we'll close the service. Father, I pray that we would be faithful to You this week. Father, I pray that we would serve You and serve others this week. Father, I pray that we as Your people would be arrows that point others to You. And Father, I pray that You would keep our eyes securely fixed on Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.